Michael Puttick for Cool Variety, AM 1470 WBKV.
And it is 8:15 on this Thursday morning. Community conversation this morning with former U.S. Senator Russ Feingold. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Good to be on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for taking time out to give us a call. Let's start out with some solid, I hope, at least mixed economic news that we saw this morning. As far as poverty rate in Wisconsin, with the exception of Milwaukee, have you seen those numbers?
Yeah, I did hear some of the reports on that.
And what's your thought? I mean, Milwaukee is still the third highest poverty rate in the nation.
Yeah, it's really a mixed picture. I mean, first of all, the thing I hear most around the state, and I've been to all 72 counties last year and all 72 counties this year, is that overall people feel that they're not able to pay the bills they would expect to be able to pay in an environment where Wall Street's at all-time highs and people are at the top are doing well and unemployment is lower. So that's a subject of a lot of frustration. And, you know, there's some news that suggests some wage increases, but nothing compared to what's needed to make sure people can withstand the costs of things like prescription medicines and college and, you know, all the things that occur in a family. Now, the Milwaukee story is particularly troubling. I mean, how does it work that Milwaukee is third in the nation for a big city, only after Detroit and Fresno, California, for poverty rates, 27%? That's deeply troubling and is something that all people need to help address, because the situation in Milwaukee is important for everybody in the state, not just those in the city.
Well, and part of the issue with the poverty is not only the income level itself, it's sort of the fallout effect from the poverty.
That's right. When you have communities that don't have the basics of the community, like some of the areas in the central city of Milwaukee, you don't have the kind of relationship between the police and the public through community policing, when you don't have schools that are adequately funded, when people are discriminated against when they try to, you know, buy a house based on unfair lending practices, it's not an environment that it makes it very easy to improve the economic picture. And the answer isn't to try to get people to leave the answer or to not work there. And the answer is to create a real sense of community. And that requires a commitment of all people, all leaders, business leaders, all government leaders. And we know from the recent disturbances there that is a very important agenda for all of us who live in the state of Wisconsin.
And it especially becomes concerning to people here in Washington County, as we do see some spillover of what's going on in Milwaukee here.
Yeah, it affects everybody. Look, Milwaukee's the largest city in the state, and, you know, I'm concerned, too, that sometimes people in the cities aren't concerned enough about what happens in the rural areas. I mean, Washington County has a great tradition of agriculture and dairy, one of the great ones in the state. And, you know, how much conversation is there about the fact that the milk prices have gone dramatically down in the last 4 years, from something like $18 per hundredweight to as low as $14? This is a very serious. Corn prices are down. The ability to borrow from the federal programs that are set up to help with this are depleted. So that's not getting enough attention either. So there needs to be a spirit of community, a spirit of helping both the cities and the rural areas. I think I'm well positioned to. And I've done that last year and this year. I did it when I was a senator. I think you got to listen and learn the actual concerns of people and what's happening right now before you start, you know, setting forth your agenda. And so that's what I've done in this campaign, and I think I'm ready to serve in January because I know what's going on around the state.
One of the things that has been talked about is, of course, is minimum wage in Wisconsin. What are you finding out about that? What are your thoughts on minimum wage at this point?
Just about everybody I talk to admits that the current $7.25 is ridiculously low. It's stuck at a level that nobody thinks is appropriate or is a living wage. And unfortunately, Senator Johnson doesn't even believe there should be a federal minimum wage and has voted against any increases. I think we need a substantial increase here. If we put money in people's pockets, they'll buy things in West Bend, they'll buy things in Milwaukee, they'll buy things in Chippewa Falls that will help stimulate the whole economy. So it's not just about that person. It's about stimulating purchases, stimulating the economy, stimulating local businesses on Main Street, not to mention larger businesses. You know, if somebody buys a car, obviously, have, being in that position, even if they're at a lower wage, as many people still need a car. That is essential that we have a higher minimum wage to make that possible for people.
Another issue that seems to be on the minds of people, especially here in this area, is the future of Social Security.
Absolutely. I mean, this is such a scary thing for people when they hear people talking about privatizing Social Security. I believe firmly that Social Security is a great system. It was actually came from an idea from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the 1930s, and President Roosevelt adopted the idea. And, you know, it needs to be a guarantee. And right now, people are nervous because people like Senator Johnson are talking, calling it a Ponzi scheme, as if it's something that doesn't pay out. He's called it that repeatedly. And he has specifically called in the last few months for the privatization of Social Security. He says it's a shame it wasn't privatized. Well, I completely disagree. If we had privatized Social Security when George Bush wanted to do that, that would have been right before the economic collapse. And a lot of people would have nothing. You know, for some people, this is all they have. For other people, it's basic to having a decent living. And I think this is why I've been endorsed by the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, because my record on this is so different than Senator Johnson, who fundamentally, I think, wants to turn Social Security over to Wall Street rather than making sure it's a guaranteed program.
All right. Moving on to another topic. There have been a couple of, from your camp and from Senator Johnson's camp, a couple of nastinesses, let's say, in the last. can we use that as a word?
I would not characterize what we've done as nastiness.
But
use whatever word.
But
you want.
Still, yeah. There's a look into Senator Johnson's payout. I guess would be the right word for it, or potential payout. And also, there's been some discussion about your foundation. So let's talk about which one do you want to talk about?
Well, first of all, any of the things that Senator Johnson has said about anything I've done are not based on any fact. It's an attack that's simply false. There's no evidence whatsoever of anything, and in fact, I followed the rules very closely. And that is, this is what they've been basing their efforts right now, and they're trying to somehow attack me personally because they refuse to consider the issues, from minimum wage to Social Security to prescription medicine to college education costs. They don't want to change the subject by bringing this sort of thing up. The issue regarding Senator Johnson is undisputed, that he got $10 million from his company that he authorized himself, and the problem there is that he never really reported it. He either needed to report it to the U.S. Senate as an ethics matter, or he needed to report it as a campaign finance issue. So the difference here is the difference between facts and no facts, and I think this campaign should be about the issues for real families. You know, real families in this state, regular families, can't move around $10 million. You know, that's just not reality for them. And so what people are tired of is that, you know, people who are very privileged and support the billionaires and the corporations have the ability to do things like moving $10 million around. The average citizen, they're right up against the wall. They're right on the line. Are they going to be able to pay their rent? Are they going to be able to pay for the food? What about if their child wants to go to college and takes on a huge student loan? So what this is really about is the difference between a candidate who really is in touch with what middle-income and working families are concerned about and a candidate who is used to a very different sort of position, and his voting record reflects that of the very well-to-do and that of the very powerful, and it's kind of a rigged system. I think most people have figured that out.
I apologize for not knowing this, but are there debates between the two of you scheduled for between now and November?
Yeah, there's at least two scheduled, that's right, in October.
Okay, so we will see the two of you on the same stage at least twice.
Absolutely, that's my understanding, and I look forward to it.
All right. There's been a lot of discussion lately also about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Lots of difference on in both political parties on whether or not this is a good idea or a bad idea.
Bad idea. Look, I have opposed these corporate handshake trade deals all the way back to NAFTA. You know, Bill Clinton wanted me to support it. Barack Obama wants me to support this one. You know, to me, it's not about whether it's a Democrat or Republican president. Wisconsin jobs need to come first. And we've lost 75,000 manufacturing jobs due to deals like this TPP deal. So I have made it clear, looked at it, and I've made it concluded very easily that this is the same kind of corporate handshake that invites companies to move overseas where they can pay low wages, not follow environmental laws, not follow workers' rights laws. And Senator Johnson refuses to tell us his position. He will not come out against the TPP, and we know that he's really for it because he thinks these trade deals are great. He's voted for everyone that's come before him and says he won't tell us what he's going to do on this till after the election. How does that work? I mean, nothing is more important than preserving the jobs of Wisconsinites. So, again, this is a difference on the issues. It's not a personal difference. It's a difference about who stands with working families in the state, who's willing to take the risk of losing those manufacturing jobs, and that's the kind of thing people could look at when they decide who to vote for on November 8th.
Legislators are back in Washington at least briefly now before the election. Do you think anything's actually going to get done, or is it all going to just get pushed off to the side?
Well, I hope something gets done. I saw a report this morning that the amount of time that the Senate is in this year is the lowest in 60 years. I mean, how does that work? You know, that's a pretty sweet deal, and they're trying to get out of there as fast as they can to run for office, which obviously I understand when people feel panicked because they're not doing well in the polls. But, you know, there are things to do. They got to get the Zika issue resolved. They got to get a number of other issues resolved, keep the government open. So I'm hoping they stay until they get the work done, but I wouldn't hold your breath.
Well, they've got to do at least maybe one more stopgap spending measure, which I think the last time we did a stopgap spending measure, a number of Wisconsin lawmakers said, this is it, we're not doing this anymore. But here we are again.
Yeah, I bet they do it today. I think they're going to try to run out of time today and just so they can run for office. And again, United States Senate that Senator Johnson is part of has worked the least of any Senate, apparently, based on days of being in session in the last 60 years. That's what the report I saw this morning said. That's not doing your job. You need to do your job.
Anything else on your mind? I know we've just got a couple minutes left here. Anything else you want to share this morning?
Just that there's a lot of fantastic innovation going on around the state. A lot of businesses and manufacturers are looking for skilled people to work for them. There are openings, and our technical colleges provide that kind of training, and we need to make sure that funding is strong because I have seen a great connection between businesses that want people and people that want a good job. We need to be positive about that, not just get into the negative side issues.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much for your time. We're chatting with...
Great to be on the show again. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Senator.
Bye-bye.
Community conversation with former U.S. Senator Russ Feingold, who, of course, would like to get his seat back in November as he competes with current Senator Ron Johnson. All right, what we're going to do is take a little look at sports here, and then we'll get some authors in the studio and continue on with a busy Thursday morning here on WBKV.